Welcome to the show today. We have a special guest on our show today, Torin Billups. You might know him from around the Ember community. And we're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff today. So, Torin, thanks for being a guest on the show.
Sam, thanks for having me, Ryan. I'm glad to be on the show. A quick intro about me, I guess. Yeah, I've been in the Ember community since 2012, 2013. Been to EmberConf almost every year. And big fan of the work that you guys do on the show. So thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. So the main thing that kind of sparked this conversation was some of your work with Redux and ultimately with hot reloading in Ember. And then some of our talk from a recent episode where we were talking about, you know, how we are basically doing styling in Ember apps these days. And the way we're doing that using functional CSS, you know, specifically we're talking about Tailwind, but that basically involves lots of template re-renders. And, you know, once you go down the kind of utility CSS approach and you switch from doing changes in CSS to handlebars files, one of the things you first know as a pain point is that you lose the hot reloading that we've had probably for like about a year or a year and a half in CSS.
Yeah, this is the CSS reloading.
CSS reloading. Yeah. So, you know, when that first landed, I mean, that was a huge thing. Like just being able to change styles and just seeing those, you know, you kind of see they're like injected in the head or something, but you don't really care because you're just able to change those styles and then see that feedback immediately in your Ember app. And that was such a cool thing when it landed. And then, you know, you talk about the benefits of functional CSS, you start using that, and you lose some of those. So that was kind of like we had some DMs and Slack about that, and that's kind of what we want to kick off the conversation with. So why don't you kind of set the stage for some of your work in this area?
Yeah, the hot reloading stuff specifically, I want to call out, like it's definitely very separate from any of the Redux work that I've been doing. So if people assumed you had to use Redux or Ember Redux or something, that's not the case. Really, I wrote this as a tool to sort of co-live with or co-locate with your CSS hot reloading that you guys mentioned, where I was doing some CSS and HTML work, but anytime I wanted to actually change an HTML element, I would reload the whole page. And we've talked a lot about kind of single file components, where a lot of times you actually change HTML and CSS together. This is kind of along those lines, where I was changing CSS and it was great, right? The page would sort of sit still. And then I would change HTML and be like, oh, now I have to get a whole sort of page reload. And so I thought, what if we could somehow avoid that second full page reload and get the same experience? Yet I didn't, of course, know how to do that. So I went down this road with someone from Zenefits a year or two ago and kind of hacked together a really basic prototype. And in fact, that's really all this hot reloader I have today represents. And I still kind of leave that very clearly in the GitHub profile. Like, this is an early look at what hot reloading could be like. You know, not saying that this is the hot reloader for Ember, because today it's really primitive. I don't know if you guys have poked around or if anyone in the community has looked at it. It is really just a wrapper component that sort of surrounds each component you have, and we fire off an event when it is deemed that that is the handlebars template or the JavaScript of your component that you've changed. We simply drop, you know, the old JavaScript or HBS, rebring it in, and then run re-render. So you're literally sort of swapping in memory the component as it was, but we're doing that by this mechanism of like an outer wrapper component.
Interesting. So, okay, so there was a lot there. I haven't had a chance to play with myself, but maybe we can kind of break it apart piece by piece. So maybe like hot reloading, just for folks who haven't actually worked with it or understand what it is, the idea is the same as in the styling, the way that Ember CLI works with styles, where you'd make a change and Ember CLI will rebuild that part of your app. And basically the delta from the previous build will somehow magically end up in your browser and you won't have to do a full page refresh. So that's the idea behind hot reloading. Can you talk through maybe at like a theoretical level, like getting the delta for the JavaScript part and our application state that's in JavaScript and how that brings it back up? Like what's the step by step there to have the same behavior in our JavaScript components?
Yeah, here's the step by step. We start out with, you know, once you Ember install this little project, there is a server middleware hook in Ember CLI. And what we do in this server middleware, if you guys are familiar with like the live reloader, it's kind of this little server, node server project sitting there listening for changes. And of course, when you make a JavaScript change, it kind of just emits an event and you reload the whole page. What we've done is kind of intercepted, and we still, you know, we still fire off an event. But what we do in the live reload server that Ember CLI has bundled up is we sort of give your application, your Ember app, a chance to opt in or opt out. And we do that by kind of constructing an event with the file path. So let's say you've changed foobar, the handlebars file for that would be, you know, foobar HBS. We actually send that to live reload. That then constructs an event, and your Ember app has kind of had this service who's listening for an event and says, ah, yes, this is a file that's in my project, and it looks like we're going to be able to hot reload, meaning not reload the full browser. So we're actually going to cancel. So this first event is really just a verification, like, hey, I think we're still going to live reload, right? And you get a chance, and the hot reloader essentially just does this for components right now and says, no, actually, it looks like this is a component, so we want to cancel that full page refresh. So the next step then is we do actually go fetch the JavaScript file, and similar to the CSS hot reload that you mentioned, we actually just dump the old script tag and then we include a new script tag. Now, truthfully, I don't know if it's a delta. It might be the full app JavaScript file, to be quite honest.
Seems like that would be easier.
And that's how the CSS works. I think it is a full file.
Again. Gotcha. So it's just a full re-render, basically.
Yeah.
Now, when you include that new JavaScript file, do you have to do you have to rerun the Ember app and reboot the Ember app? Like, how does that new JavaScript file get access to the memory of the current browser, like the current state of the application?
That is the question, right? The magic. Unfortunately, that is also the magic that gets me in trouble, because the project is very much aware of some internals, you could guess. So behind the scenes, the simplest way I could describe it is we reach into the component cache at this point within Glimmer and just say, you know, those cached JavaScript functions you have for like the handlebars file, let's just throw those away. Then we re-require those with require.js. And then we call re-render, which if you go through the Glimmer Ember code, eventually, if there is no cache for that, it will try and re-render the handlebars file, which in this case, we've waited until that new JavaScript is already pulled down. And so when Ember goes to reload it, you effectively get the new handlebars file or the new JavaScript for that component.
That's awesome. And so it sounds like this works perfect with templates, because they're, what's the word I'm looking for, like idempotent. You can just keep calling re-render over and over and over again. Also sounds like it solves that class problem where you do class equals XYZ, and it's perfect for that, the functional CSS.
Right. So coming back to stepping back from the implementation, which is pretty fascinating, the idea there is that the kinds of changes that are, you know, tractable in hot reloading today are exactly these kinds of changes, like starting with static data at the template level. You can imagine that's kind of like the easiest way you could consider changing a component and then having it re-render. So like adding and removing classes should be able to handle that situation pretty well, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what's intended for, is that for the most part, you remember the good old days of web development, you would just have an index.html file, you would change styles or you would change the markup, and then you would just refresh and there it was. And that's kind of what I was trying to harken back to, is the days of a simpler feedback loop. And ultimately that means for the developer a much faster feedback loop. And I think one of the challenges we talked about was really, why isn't anyone overly reaching or looking for this in the Ember community, which was kind of one of the reasons I wanted to jump on the show, is that Sam and I got into kind of a conversation in the learning channel about different communities in JavaScript, React, Vue, and Ember, and why maybe the Ember community hasn't been in need of hot reloading like other communities.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts there? I mean, I have some ideas maybe just based on our experience, but I'd like to hear kind of your thoughts.
Oh man, I was trying to open that up for you, but
I guess that's a hard one.
What other communities do? Like, if I start a new React app today, do I have an expectation that it's going to hot reload?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and Sam were at a conference recently with some React developers, so I'd love your take. Locally, you know, when I go to the JavaScript meetup, It's not built into Create React App, but if you guys have searched around or Googled around, it's pretty easy to get hot reloading. And I think the assumption is that most Vue and React developers assume that is the workflow for component development.
I honestly don't have a much personal experience here and have chatted a little bit. It came up a little bit at the conference we were at. We were talking with some Vue and React folks. I did see it used in some videos and also saw, like, I think it's one of those things that can be tricky and isn't always, it's not a panacea in the sense that it's not relied on 100% of the time, all the time. So sometimes, like, your app will hot reload and you'll say, all right, let's just start from scratch and refresh. From that perspective, I feel like there's a couple things going on here. One is, like, if I'm building a complicated workflow and to get to, like, the third stage of a wizard, I need to go through the first two stages. Like, that's going to save me a lot of time if I can just reload the app in that state and not have to re-click those things, right? Last week, we were talking about how, like, kind of when we get to that point, a lot of times is when we'll drop into, like, a test to recreate those behaviors. And I think for us, we tend to write more smaller apps rather than like work on one gigantic app. So personally for us, I think the rebuild, at least for me, I can say the rebuild time, like sometimes initial build can be slow for me in Ember, but the rebuild time is usually fast enough and I'm usually using tests in that way such that like the next most bothersome thing to me is not like the rebuild time, if that makes sense. But like when we were talking in the learning channel, there's people saying, especially on like Windows and other things like this, there was times where basically in your development flow, like the rebuild time and the feedback cycle, like you were saying, it is like the number one thing that is like taking away from my development flow. So I wonder if that has been your experience where you're working on bigger apps where the feedback cycle for a change is like more than, you know, is significant. Is that kind of your experience?
Yeah, I have a funny little story to derail us here about that. So when I created this back in 2016, it was one of those things where I probably started an open source project for the wrong reasons. You guys know what I'm talking about. And it was more about fame and riches than it was, you know, solving my own problem. And so last year I started at a new product company full time. And yeah, one of the things I learned, it was really the first time I'd worked with someone who a large number of developers are on Windows and we are an Ember shop. So we're using Ember CLI on Windows. And as you mentioned, out of the woodwork in that learning channel conversation, but also what I witnessed firsthand last year is that if you are on Windows, you incur a very big cost. And so what I was noticing is my coworkers would say things like, oh, Torin, you get so much done. And I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't really feel like I'm getting a lot done. And they would say, no, by comparison, you're able to make changes and iterate on that. That seems crazy to me that you could do that. And I was sort of ignorant of this feedback cost on Windows. And so I got more inspired earlier this year when some of the guys on my team would tell me the amount of seconds that it would take to actually see an HTML change. And I could not believe it.
Yeah.
So to your point about testing, you know, of course we can always talk about testing. There's, if you're doing behavior and actual programming, great, you can get feedback there. But there is also sort of UX prototyping and just layout work that I do. I do that sort of after the TDD. And in that feedback loop is really where I got inspired to revive the hot reloader that I wrote a couple of years ago. And really it's selfish. It's like, man, I want fast feedback for me. I want my teammates to be fast, have fast feedback and be awesome. And so I think that is, to your point about that wizard, like step three, one of the things that I thought was interesting to hear in that conversation is in Ember, maybe step three has a URL
right
to kind of capture where you're at. But as you mentioned, sometimes wizards, especially like modal driven wizards, traditionally don't have a URL. So you actually do have to like live reload to the root of the wizard, click through, and then you're on step three. And that's really what I didn't hear a lot of people in Ember speaking about that I was hoping to hear, you know, hey, this would be great if this existed. And I think ultimately what I learned the last few weeks is that this add-on I wrote in 2016, just no one's really interested then, but it doesn't mean it's not interesting now. And so maybe I should start really grinding and getting it back out there.
Absolutely. I'm working on something this week where I have the modal and, you know, I have the modal being open by a query param, but then the data inside the modal is all transient. You know, it's just, it lives on a model that got fetched, and as you're updating it. So I would love, I mean, seriously, you would have cut my week in half if I had been using that hot reloader. You know, it sounds like the hot reloading is really good for like template changes. Are there situations where you don't want to use the hot reloader, or you know, you shouldn't trust it, and specifically like in an Ember app?
That's a good question. Probably things that are long-lived state related that could be tricky. I don't have a lot of experience with it because truthfully, the hot reloader doesn't support it. One of the challenges right now is trying to figure out how to get a full app re-render. So if you guys have poked around at like just Glimmer, like, you know, I'm talking about Glimmer Solo, there is a method that comes out of the box in any Glimmer app, and it's inside the source index. And it's inside this method body called setPropertyDidChange. It actually says app.schedule re-render. So every time you do a set in Glimmer, it basically comes back here and says, hey, let's just try and re-render the app. And that's ultimately what I found some of the React hot module reloading does, is they may change some random JavaScript, not a component necessarily, and then they just re-render the whole app. And because we don't have that experience yet in Ember, there are definitely things that, like, if you change a service, it's going to make that event. And then, of course, we're going to, in the service, say, hey, this isn't a component. Sorry. Go ahead and do a full page reload. So there are tricky things to it. Of course, there are, in some cases, there are ways around that. So for Ember Redux, there's actually a plugin for this hot module reloader that just says you can change a reducer, which is kind of where we do the function over state, and you can replace that hot on the fly. So that's just kind of one exception. But even then, it doesn't mean that for React like development, where you have, if you've guys heard of this library called Reselect, where you actually do like memoize computed functions, kind of like computed properties in Ember, you have a lot of those tied to the reducer concept. And those, because we can't just re-render the whole app, those have to kick a full page reload also.
I see. I really like kind of what you're describing architecturally, where there's this piece, the core, that's like the hot module reloading. And then there's like these hooks that say, you know, a component changed or a template file changed. And then maybe in the future, and those right now know how to accommodate it, but maybe in the future, as the work gets more sophisticated, you could accommodate like service changes and stuff like that. Seems like a good architecture to me. Like, also thinking about if this were to become something that could be supported in mainstream and in default Ember apps. And I do want to say, like, even before, when I was saying, you know, maybe I work on smaller apps and then maybe I jump to like tests when it comes to reproducing things, that's not to say that I'm not interested in this. Like, I actually think this is one of those things that most people don't know they're missing. So in the same way that, like, when the CSS reloading came, it's not a problem that anyone was had identified. Maybe it would say like, oh, I just changed one CSS and I have to reload. It's like, of course I have to reload, like I'm changing my app. But once you get the hot reloading, you're like, oh yeah, why did I ever have to do a full rebuild and like refresh this? This is so much faster. So in the same way, even if it's not something that's like super top of mind or something that I was motivated enough to build myself, I think if this existed in Ember, like obviously people would love this. Like, this is something that would obviously be a benefit. And again, as long as you chew off the pieces at a, you know, take small bites of the problem and start with the components that are easiest, the static templates, and then move on to the harder things, and it just works at every stage, then there's basically no downside. Then, like, why wouldn't we have it in Ember? Why wouldn't every Ember developer get this out of the box? I mean, this is the kind of thing that's like, this is the kind of thing that's part of the Ember ethos, which is like, if 90% of people are doing this, it needs to be baked in, right? So, yeah, I think, you know, I saw you talk about it a couple years ago when you first kind of spiked in the library, and it's just something I mean, I saw you talk about it. I just never got around to trying it, but I'm kind of like just saying that so we can talk about what would it be like to get more folks to try it. What's like a really low barrier entry way to get folks to try it? Like, if I wanted to try this thing out today, should I just go to the repo and install it? Is there something to know? Is there like a video of you doing it?
Yeah, I think the cool part that does separate us still from the React camp specifically is that it's just an Ember install, right? There's only one piece of configuration, but it's sort of Ember install driven. And that is when you're installing it in your app, it says, hey, the hot reloader needs to hijack your resolver. Is that cool? And if you say yes, that's literally all you have to do. Then you just do Ember S. And from that point on, handlebars and JavaScript component changes will be hot reloaded. So, and it even works on Windows. That's something we kind of spent some time on the last few weeks, is that as this revival was happening, people on Windows were saying, hey, there must be some pathing issues, and could you solve these issues? I'd like to try this out on Windows. And so I think there is a future for it. I do think one of the challenges is convincing the core team, or all of the core team that would maybe help implement this, that it is valuable to everyone. I think a lot of folks, myself included, you know, I get very insulated in, you know, especially let's just point out TDD, right? There's a flow that I'm into, and I may say, in fact, when I saw Dan Abramov talk about hot reloading for the first time in 2015, his React talk that got really big, I remember saying, like, why would I do this? I'm doing test-driven development, duh. You know, like, very conceited, like, I know what I'm doing. But what I found out much later is, like, maybe people don't do TDD. Maybe people don't like it. Or maybe people are hacking around.
Even if people, well, the thing that I was thinking when you were speaking earlier is, like, sometimes I'm in a testing mindset, or like a building mindset, where I'm working on my app and I'm wiring up actions, I'm making sure the data looks the way I want it to look. But then I'm in like a, other times I'm in a design mindset where like I have things wired up, the functionality is working, and I'm just tweaking things. And like even that is enough of a mode to be in where something like hot reloading would be ideal. Like if I'm doing design, I basically want it as close to manipulating something in Sketch as possible. And if everything was hot reloaded, it seems like we're a lot closer to that.
Yeah, and that really is the use case that drove me this year. I've been doing a lot more prototyping, not quite to your level with Sketch, mainly because for some reason I'm stuck in Vim, and I feel better about myself than trying to learn Sketch. But I think the idea that, you know, test-driven development isn't the only way to do UI work, and there are actually large groups of folks that simply prototype. They're just hacking around an idea. They're thinking about user experience, and I mean, for me anyway, I can relate to that, meaning, you know, test-driven development, as you mentioned, a testing mindset.
Yeah.
Very different than the design, layout, prototype, UX mindset when I do it.
Absolutely. And they don't have to be exclusive either, right? Sometimes we're in one and sometimes we're in another. And, you know, this comes up with, again, like the functional CSS stuff, like which it helps, it supports certain workflows. And so that's why these tools are good to talk about. So just to kind of clarify, if I wanted to, let's say, open up Ember Maps code base, check out a new branch, I would just install the hot module reloader and all my components would be hot reloadable?
Depending, I haven't looked at your guys' app in a while. Is it still one Ember app or does it have engines?
No, just one Ember app.
Oh, yeah, then you're good to go. I would caveat, I guess Ryan asked earlier, what's hard or what are we not doing? And so we don't yet support engines or like in-app or monorepo add-ons. So really, you have to have one Ember app, unfortunately.
I see. We might have some in repo add-ons.
Yeah, we do. But okay. If we so rarely touch those that if we had to manually refresh, it would, you know, that would be like once a week. So I think we can live with one manual refresh a week.
Gotcha.
That's cool. I mean, that's really cool. I think I didn't understand. I thought that hot module reloading was, I think I was under the impression it was tied to how you're doing state management in some way. Like if you're putting the state, I thought one of the things that something like a single Atom app state enables was hot reloading, because you can kind of just, given a state object, you can just say, this is what my app looks like. And if you build your app in a way that is it follows those constraints, it enables this kind of thing. But it sounds like, you know, the way your add-on works, like you were saying, it takes advantage of maybe some private APIs right now, but it's based by doing so, it's able to get all the state of a component.
Yeah, I should caveat that. It doesn't do what you can possibly do in React, where it literally like captures, takes a snapshot of all the local state, dumps the component, brings it back, and then hydrates it. It actually doesn't do that, so not quite. But one thing it will do, and I think you guys sometimes follow this pattern of the presentation separation from the data component.
Yeah.
And so in this case, you have kind of this outer component that gets the data, either from Ember data or Redux or something, and then it feeds into these buttons and these layout pages to some degree. And so if you're just changing the layout, the HTML piece of that, you will hot reload those pieces in and they will just be rehydrated with the data from their parent, if that makes sense. So a lot of the work I do, I'm changing buttons and very simple carousel type things that they don't have the source of truth, right? They're fed that data. So what happens when the component is rehydrated is that it's just dropped that same state you were just looking at. So in that case, it would feel that way.
That makes sense. That would work great for us. And even if it doesn't cover 100% of our use cases, still, it'd be like half the time. Half the components we work on are presentational. So
right.
That's huge.
So is there a way we can, you know, we install this hot reloader, can we say like only do like handlebars files? Is that what it does by default?
That'd be a great configuration, actually. There is a point in the server middleware side, so the Ember CLI hook that we tie into, that actually does say, I'm looking for .js and .hbs extensions. And so, yeah, there's probably a way we could constrain it and just say, no, only HBS templates, period. But we don't have a hook for that yet.
So I have a question. So if you have a component and it has an isShowing property that's false, and then the template has a link or a button that toggles it to true. So you're in the browser, you click the button, toggles it to true, and it shows something. And then you change the file on disk.
Which file?
Let's say you change, these are the same components, so I'd imagine the entire component would re-render. Let's say you change the HBS file. So like if is showing, then it's like hello world, and then you change that text and you make it, you know, happy birthday or something. So what's going to happen there? Is the whole thing going to re-render and is showing will default back to false?
Yeah, because in that scenario, is showing is local state, so it'll get dumped. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, thinking about like the wizard example, if you had the wizard and you were in step 3, but you were working on a component that's being rendered in step 3, and it's just showing like, congratulations, you finished, you can go to town on that component, it's gonna re-render, but then since the parent is the one that has like current step of 3, that's gonna not be touched. It's not gonna be re-rendered, and the state won't be reset. So all that transient local state will stay the same, and then the leaf node will just re-render itself using the props, basically the arguments it's getting from the parent. And so that's kind of like why working on the leaf nodes makes the most sense.
Yeah, and like Ryan said, I mean, you can kind of ripple up to these parents, but I do find like the HTML type work is traditionally a little more downstream, unless it's your first component and you haven't like refactored it yet.
That makes sense. So when you're using this, and I assume, do you use this in like all your Ember projects now? I mean, it would be a no-brainer that you would use this.
Remember when I said engines?
Ah, right.
Supported.
Right.
Yeah. We at work anyway, you know, everything's basically an engine.
I see.
So I'm very strongly motivated, to get that working in the next few weeks or months. So I don't use it at work. I would love to, because we do face some of the same issues mentioned recently in sort of the Ember.js 2018 blog post around rebuild times.
Right.
But, you know, the motivation here is definitely around maybe sharing and maybe me coming on this podcast as part of that, just helping people sort of stand up for fast feedback. I think a lot of times you guys maybe have seen this or experienced it as younger engineers where you're at a company and somebody says like, yeah, that's just the way it is here. It's really slow. And being like, okay with it because you're new and you're afraid to challenge. But I think my example on this was, well, yeah, it's slow. That's not great. How cheap is it to make it, you know, the experience a lot better or somewhat better for the Windows developers specifically? And I found that not being able to hot reload those things is like one of those crazy, you're actually computing a lot of things in your head and you're less likely to experiment. My phrase on this is like, I want a feedback loop optimized for experimentation and learning. Without that, I'm just going to fail.
That's so great. That is such a great way to put it. And you were saying like being a new engineer at a company and you don't really speak up about this. I've also had sort of the opposite where I've been at a company for, you know, a couple of years and the whole time I've been there, this thing is really slow. And I'm like, yep, well, that's just the way it is. And sometimes it takes that new engineer to come in and say, hey, you know, you can really make this faster. I feel like that's true though with this hot reloading conversation where, yeah, I've been doing Ember for like 5-6 years, and like I'm hearing this now, I'm like, yeah, why haven't I been thinking about this? So,
yeah, and I think I'm like reminded also, like sometimes these things are when they're in the abstract, the conversations can be like hard to be like convincing or compelling. Or like people who have been working on Ember CLI, like obviously they're doing a ton of work and they've done a ton of work on it. And this is not, none of this is to disparage that, but it's like, no, like they've been focused on certain features, right? And they've made it this awesome tool that we can all have. And then so we have these kind of theoretical conversations and it's like, oh, well, on my computer it's a fast rebuild and I use tests, so it's not a big problem. But like, you know, DHH talks about this where a lot of the abstract disagreements around like code styling, which is usually what he's talking about, kind of melt away when you just, two programmers just sit in front of a computer. And I feel like this is the kind of thing where if you just installed this in an app and then just like went around your normal day-to-day development and it just worked, like, again, I haven't used it. I want to use it and experience it for myself. But let's just say in theory, like snap our fingers, it kind of works really nice with engines, everything. No, everyone's going to, those differences are going to melt away and people are going to say, hail this as an obviously great feature. So I feel like, you know, if you're thinking about ways to really convince people, like demos here could be really cool. You know, even like a little GIF in the README is just showing what the experience is like. But I think it's awesome that you've put the time into this. And I think, I don't think anyone who works on Ember, even if, again, they say the way they would talk is like they're focused on other things. But if you were a champion of this, you shouldn't feel hit resistance on this kind of thing. This is the kind of thing that Ember developers would love and support, you know? So, just to say that, like, I think getting practical and having the demos will make it very compelling.
Yeah, I do have a video I can link you guys for the show notes that I did take sometime last year before, which actually was a side-by-side of live reloading versus hot reloading, building a star rating component. And it's so funny, I was talking to a friend of mine about why that video didn't really start a fire, and he watched it and was like, yeah, it just seems so simple. He's like, that's some of the trouble with selling ideas that are no-brainers, is they just look so simple. It's like, well, of course we'd use this, but also I didn't know any different, and I don't think enough people probably saw this video of the side-by-side. So as you mentioned, getting the word out, but I also think if folks got their hands on it, like you said, getting in front of a keyboard and actually using it, it's the experience of it that is almost so much, speaks bigger volumes than watching this little video.
Yeah.
Which you can be like, yeah, it looks like, because one of the things I did is when I watched the video myself, I was like, oh, so the hot reloading developer finished, you know, like 30, 40 seconds ahead. No big deal. 30, 40 seconds, no biggie. But it's the experience that developer had as they used it. They were in flow and it felt different, you know? So that's what we need to get across.
Absolutely. You know, maybe we can help with a video here too. Like, I'm just thinking it'd be fun to make a video where you're sitting next to the computer and working on it. I think that could be really effective.
You know, like in Mario Kart where you could like time trial yourself,
yeah,
and you see like the outline? That's what I want. I want to like time trial myself with this. And,
yeah, you're blown by last week, Ryan. There yeah, he is sitting there waiting, you know, sipping his coffee or whatever.
Yeah, I actually watched that talk. Have you guys seen that one by Brett Victor? It's called Inventing on Principle.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he does that Mario one where he's saying like we need faster feedback in our tools. And I was like blown away by that. I recently saw that. So
yeah, that we'll link to that because that's for folks who are interested in this and being in touch with the medium kind of in which we work. You know, he's really all about that and how it changes the output. It's not just about being faster and getting the same result. It's actually getting the new results because of the kind of feedback you're able to get.
And this goes back to what Torin was saying, where if the hot reloader lets you get a few more experiments in your day, like that could produce different results.
Yeah, if you're waiting, if I was ever waiting like 10 or 15 seconds per reload and I had a feature to get done in a day, I'm just going to do the just absolute it,
yeah,
minimum, like, you know?
Agree.
Cool. So what's kind of, you said you kind of spiked the library a couple years ago. And, you know, you have some features and some extra support you could add to it, make it work with engines. Is it something that you've been working on regularly? Is it something you kind of just spiked and stepped away from and now you're like, what would it look like? Basically, what are your thoughts for kind of the work maybe over the next 6 months? Do you want to get the idea out there? And if there is a strong response, then you could see kind of managing the project and kind of triaging issues and prioritizing development and all that stuff. I mean, what's kind of in your mind? What are the next few steps?
Yeah, I mean, to be brutally honest, I do definitely just want to vet the idea. So if you go back to like kind of the startup thing, I just want to see if people even value this enough to install it and try it. And you guys, of course, you know, mention you install it and see what it feels like to use it. Is it actually a better workflow for you? And ultimately, I'd love to find someone else who would help champion it into Ember CLI core, because as you mentioned, really this would be even better out of the box for folks. And I think that warrants a different type of discussion. You know, I talked to folks on the core team who essentially said, Torin, all you got to do is create an RFC. You know, get an RFC together. We'll talk about a public API for this re-render that I'm essentially hacking right now. Like between every major version of Ember, and one of the reasons it was actually broken last year for several months was there was some change when Glimmer came in, and then it literally, I had no idea how to break the template cache. And so it just kind of sat there idle.
Right.
And same thing actually happened in Ember 3.1.1. They changed that again. And it's very clear now, as I, you know, of course I'm reverse engineering this, it's very clear how private they want that template cache. So I think there really is some political discussion to have with the folks on core who are making these, template caches very private and hard to get to.
Right.
And if I showed you, of course, the regex I'm mashing on, you would be like, no, seriously?
Hey, you know, any good hacker has, what's like the thing on Twitter, by 35, you've written a regex to identify a template cache.
I like it. Yeah, but to your point, I mean, I definitely want to play an advisory role. I don't know if I have the personal bandwidth or really the open source bandwidth to say this is a whole new project the size of possibly Ember CLI that I want to take on personally. To be honest, this year, I really tried to dive into Elixir and Erlang and spend a bunch of time getting more into distributed systems. And I'm really just kind of reviving this as it's something I'm using. And so back to open source motivation, this is really a selfish one. I want this thing to work for me. If we could get someone else or Ember CLI, the core team, to actually buy in, I'd love to help champion it and get it there. I just don't know if I want to maintain it for the next 10 years.
Absolutely. I mean, based on when I've spoken with people like Ed Faulkner and others, their kind of suggestion for, you know, changing default Ember behavior is, you know, before the RFC, there should be, you know, 6 months or even a year of successful experimentation in add-on land. So, you know, if the add-on was super popular and as a proof of concept, even if it still relied on like a regex, that's fine. But as a proof of concept, it's like totally viable. I think then it's like you could step in to make the RFC, but feels like I think I agree with you, like, right now, just getting people excited and trying it out and seeing if it works and seeing if it has a real effect.
I mean, it's great. It sounds like it's really easy to try out, because if you don't like it or some future API breaks, you can uninstall it and you don't have to rewrite your whole app.
Exactly. knowing that there's no change to make in how you are architecting data flow or anything like that. Again, this was something I didn't understand because the only reference I had of hot module reloading was in reference to like Dan Abramov's Redux talk. So that I thought about those things similarly, or just the notion of a global app state. So that would be something I think to put right at the top of the README. You know, maybe it's there. I haven't looked at it since I looked at it when we had the conversation last. So one more question is going actually back to kind of like the weeds here. We were talking about having like a three-step wizard. Maybe that's the data provider component, and then you're able to kind of just tweak the UI component, the presenter. So what happens what is the experience like if I were to tweak a stateful component and have that state reset?
I mean, it's going to do, so you're talking about like this parent of the is active?
Exactly. And like just that parent refreshes because that's the one I changed. But because of the hot module reloading, like only that part of the screen refreshes, whereas typically the whole app would refresh. So like, what is that like? Does it just kind of work? Is it put my app in a new state that maybe didn't exist before, which is confusing? Or I'm just trying to think through having not used it.
Yeah, I think it depends on if you're doing data fetching in the component, because to be honest, I have not messed around or hot reloaded anything that like fires off an Ajax call or something like that. For the most part, most of my components subscribe to a service. The service will then just refeed sort of like props in, and then those props hydrate down to child leaf nodes, and those all just re-render in line.
Yep. Well, I mean, I can't wait to try this because we have some components we use like for secondary data loading. Like, you know, you kind of click on a modal to add a new company. A modal window comes up, and then there's a select box that needs to load a bunch of stuff. And so that would be a great, just to see what the behavior is like, you know?
Yeah.
But I totally agree, like the presenter component seemed like a real win here. And again, a lot of the work we've done is thinking about how to make it easier to build these kinds of things. Yeah.
Cool.
Is there any other topics that we could round out with, or is this kind of...
I mean, yeah, I think the majority of my message today was, you know, is this something people want to try? If it is, how do they try it? Which you guys said, obviously, it sounds pretty cheap to check it out. And if people do like it, you know, jump into Slack, ask questions, or, you know, get on GitHub and throw up issues. I would certainly love to, in 6 months, as you mentioned, Sam, just understand better. Yeah, people tried it and it wasn't, you know, an order of magnitude better than their other workflow. So they just never bought into it. Or, wow, look how much my life has improved by getting fast feedback. And then just kind of sing the praises of that until we can maybe make it more official.
That's great. So if people wanted to follow up Slack and your TorrentB on Slack?
Yeah, TorrentB, and the project is github.com/TorrentB/EmberCLI hotloader. Note that I left it hot loader instead of reloader, mainly because I don't really intend this to be the final project in 5 years. It is essentially an implementation of a pre-RFC, if that makes sense.
Yep, that does make sense. Cool. Well, hey, it was great having you on the show and talk about this stuff. I know I'm going to try this out. And I think it's great that you, as an author, want to kind of be in touch with people and say, yeah, hey, everyone, this is solving a real problem of mine. I want you to try it because I think it's going to benefit you. Or B, like, you're doing something different that I don't know about. And so once you use it, I'd like to hear about that. And because at a higher level, we're all interested in the same thing, these kind of fast feedback cycles. So I think that's a great approach to take.
Yeah, and thanks so much, Sam and Ryan, for having me on the show. Get the message out. And if people do find it valuable, pay it forward. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Torin. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.